Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I'm so delighted to be here today. It's 2/22/22. I have my co-host with me.
And good evening. I'm excited. You know, we'll never see that again in our lifetime. 2/22/22. Double blessing, double outpouring. This is the day that if nothing else, you claim the double, the more than enough. And I think that, listen, I'm grabbing everything that's mine. 2/22/22.
That's right. We will never, ever see this in our lifetime again. And nobody else will either.
Absolutely. No one that's listening to us, that's for sure, right?
Yes, I'm so glad to be back in South Florida. I've been on a journey and I'm getting ready to go again in a couple of days.
Well, you know, that's what happened with people whose lives are busy making differences, whose lives are busy not only connecting, but pouring into other people's lives. And I often say to people who stand on the outside and look in is that, you know, you have no idea what goes into touching other people's lives. You know, the effort that you go through, the sacrifice that you go through. And as much as those that are built for it desire to do it and they do it with what seem to be such ease, the reality is it's a great investment inside of it, because at the end of the day, the real reward is the fact that you made a difference.
Absolutely. There's so many sheroes and heroes here that are making differences every day. This is Black History Month, but you know, it's about to come to an end, but we shouldn't let this history pass us by or just celebrate it once a year, because of the fact that there are people making a difference every single day. Next month is going to be voting for the Senate.
Yes.
So I hope those of you that have absentee ballots or you have a voter's registration card, please, please, please do not say my vote is not going to count. This is very crucial. We must get out there. We must make our voices heard. And the only way we can do that is if we go to the polls.
You're exactly right. And not only are we voting for the Senate in certain areas, we're voting for local municipalities. We're voting for local government. The thing that we have to realize that although people get very hyped for the presidential election every 4 years, the reality is where the rubber meets the road is as close as it is to your municipality, your home state. Those are the elections that you need to really go out to support, because those decisions immediately impact you, your way of living, property taxes, education, schools, you name it. And so we have to be ready to go and do those type things. And I like to always address those people who think, it doesn't matter. If your vote did not count, if your vote did not matter, it would not be such a push historically and longstanding to suppress your vote, to oppress your vote, to get you not to vote, because your voting is really your voice. It is the one thing in our democracy that says that I count, regardless of my social economic status, regardless of my living conditions, regardless of what side of the track I live on. Reality is that your vote is your voice, and it's the one thing that says I'm being represented. So look at it the opposite way. If you don't vote, what you're literally signing off is saying that my vote don't count, I don't matter, I don't deserve a voice. Do what you want to, because I'm insignificant, and it doesn't matter anyway. I refuse to be the latter. It's been too many people that bleeds to have been beaten to the inches of their lives in order for us to do this thing here that we call voting. And we have to take advantage of it, or we're going to see it continue to slip away and erode.
Yeah, we're going to continue to see havoc in our communities if we don't get out and vote. And, you know, when you talk about our local municipalities, that means that those dollars that are in our community, if we don't utilize them or know that they are there, then it will be taken away. Case in point, the pandemic, there was certain monies allocated to certain communities. you know, to help with COVID testing, mm-hmm. to help with paying for rent, even mm-hmm. some cases paying for funerals. That money was sitting there, but a lot of people had no idea they were there. Why? Because they have not participated in their communities. They don't know what's out there so that they can utilize it for their good. They look at people and say, oh, how are they doing this and how are they doing that? You know, we've been affected the same way, but yet they seem to be making it. Oh, they had some help. And you don't have any help because of the fact that the circle you around and the fact that you don't participate in your community, you don't pay attention to the news, you don't pay attention to what's happening with your neighbors, and you don't pay attention to the financial economical statuses of our state. We have to pay attention. As the young people say, we got to get woke.
Well, you're exactly right, because nothing comes to a sleeper but a dream. And when you think about the fact of just what you said, all over each county, that was a time that they were literally begging people to utilize the hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars and rental assistance and inside of other things that could have really helped. How many times are we looking up and people are having GoFundMes to bury loved ones? And when in so many of these county and municipality, they literally had money set aside to assist inside of those things. But if we're not participating, if we don't have our ears to the ground, if we're not part of the process, it goes right around us and we miss opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Now, granted, some people are so mentally stressed, you know, that they can't take another thing. So they choose to close their ears and close their eyes so that they can't hear or see anything that's going on around them, because they feel as though they're so overwhelmed with life itself, they can't take on another thing. So therefore they don't look at the news, they don't read any articles in the community. And I get that, been there, done that. But sometimes you have to push forward, push past your pain, push past your depression, and see that there's help out there. There is so much help, even for mental illness. There's so many things out there that are made accessible, whether you have money or not. It doesn't matter about your economical status. It doesn't matter what nationality you are, you can get help. And we know that we're in South Florida, it's a melting pot, and we have people that come from different backgrounds. And I understand that people are afraid to even apply for assistance or utilize the assistance that are there, because they figure that it would help something with deportation, or, you know, they don't want them to know people in their house and stuff like that. I understand that. But there is help out there if you ask. You see, you ask for help, not because you're weak, but because you want to stay strong.
And that is so true. And I like the way that you put that, because in many cases, people's fear of the unknown is greater than what is known. Right. And so when you start talking about the help, census, when we did the census, many people became afraid because of deportation. But it brings me back to this whole point. So many of these allowances that have happened has been directly the result of elections, votes, bills and legislation that has been passed as a result of people going to that poll and voting and getting the right people in, or people who share like manner. We have to recognize that's even more the reason to get out and vote. People that run for office oftentimes are running because of the fact they think they can make a difference. Though you have those that are running because they just want to make a name, but the reality is that the power is in the hand of the people if we utilize it. You know, one of the things that I remember in school that studied when I was very young, when we say government for the people, of the people, and by the people. And that always stuck with me because of the fact it is the one thing that kind of separated us from being a banana republic or from being, you know, up under a dictatorship. And when we don't utilize it, we basically forfeit it. And we see the results. Women being able to even vote, women could even vote at one time. You think about
right, that. Right.
But guess what? the amendments change constitutionally because of what? Voting. And so we continue to see things happen. And we have to understand we have not reached our phalanx yet. We have not reached that top place yet. And as long as we're still talking about the first Black person this, the first Black woman this, the first Black man that, that lets us know we still have a long way to go. We have not even saturated the area for us, our potential. And then we won't take advantage of that that opportunity. Because even now, when I look and think about the powerful women, and I'll focus on women for a second, the powerful women that we've seen serve both locally, statewide, and even on a national level, have been women who have been knocked down, who did not have a silver spoon in their mouth, but they came up the rank. They came up knowing what the situation was and was willing to put their lives, their reputation, and everything on the line in order to make a difference. And I think when we as people begin to get that type of unction, that type of passion, that type of hunger, we'll be running to the voting booth. We'll be making sure others go because we know that our voice definitely makes a difference.
Yeah, I don't understand why people would just stay on the sidelines when they can make a difference in their communities, and not just for themselves, but for their children and their children's children. You know, especially my women, I need you to go to the polls. I need you to vote. I need you to rise up and not rely on a man to define you. I need you to rise up and walk in purpose because you were called for a purpose. I want you to rise up because, like we said at the opening of the show, this is February 26th. 22. We will never see this day again. But today, I want you to declare and decree, I'm taking back everything that was lost, stolen, broken, missing from my lives, because we need to get to the next level. And it's an army that's going to take us to do it. So I'm talking to the women to rise up. Jay, I know you have something to say to the men, but if we mobilize, mobilize, we can get this country back on track. If we mobilize, and like you said, not to go white, Black, Puerto Rican, Hispanic, we don't want any of that. Racism is learned behavior. So what are you teaching your children? Are you teaching them? In order for us to move forward, we have to send a new message out. You know, we walking by the blood of the Lamb. And as far as the blood is concerned, it's long as it's red. I don't know anybody have any blue blood, green blood, purple blood. It's all red. Some of it is lighter red than the other because they're anemic, but it's all red. So if we get back to harmonizing, you know, when kids are at school and they're playing in the playground, they're in class and they're learning, they don't see color.
No,
it's learned behavior. What are we teaching our children? What are we saying to them? And listen, if we don't respect ourselves, how do we expect people to respect us? When we calling each other H's and B's and stuff, I hate that with a passion. What are we sending out to? I was in a grocery store and I saw this girl. She had two young kids, and one might have been about 9 months and the other one almost maybe three, and she was calling her a B and a H, little girl. And I mean, my heart just broke. I said, imagine that child at 10, 11, yes. 12. Yeah. You know, what is she going to become? Because this is what's been dictated to her.
You know, it is such a sad thing. And I've seen that happen in time past. And I think I know two times specifically, I couldn't hold it. And I literally had to say something to that particular mother who did it. Mm-hmm. And I could see that she was frustrated. She was overwhelmed, all those things. But what I said to her when she did, I said, listen, is everything all right? I said, because she doesn't deserve to hear that. She needs to listen. I said, no. But she doesn't need to listen to that. You're angry. You're yelling at her. Right about now, you're planting the wrong seed in her mind. I said, listen, it's going to be all right. come on, you got to do better. I know you want the best for them, but this is not giving them the best. And it was a chance I took because I've not always had a successful experience in doing that. Sometimes the cursing goes from the children to being cursed at me.
Yes, yes.
But this particular time it went well because of the fact she was overwhelmed. She was just frustrated inside of it. And when she finally walked outside of the store and everything, I just said to her, you know, what is it that has you so stressed? And she started going through everything that had happened. She doesn't get any help from the kids' dad. You know, she can't get a job. They're not doing right about her monies. And she was frustrated. But I said to her, but that impacts your child that you're also yelling at. Take the time to embrace that child. Love on them. That's the one thing that you have that you can say is not changing on you. And so we have to consider that. Even those are reason to get out to the poll and to vote. Because I will tell you, Dr. Val, you start off by saying that Black history is all, it's every day, it's 365. And I look back over my life and I grew up in a historical city. The people that we would later read about in the history books was people that was everyday people to me around me. I had no idea they would be in history books. But they are today because of the fact they were passionate enough. When I see movies being made and their reenactments of people who was my principal and people who was literally my neighbors and people who was around the corner, I had no idea. But what I did know is that they was active and they was passionate and they stood up for something. And a lot of them were great women, you know, Amelia Boynton, so many people we can go through, and they were those type of active individuals. And then I get older, and when they begin to appear in the history book, I'm like saying, her? But that's what I'm saying. Everybody has an opportunity to make a difference. And that difference is being able to participate in what's happening in your surrounding, in your community, inside of the networks that you're at. Because that's the only time difference is made. You know, there are people who choose to just sit on the sideline and complain, but nothing happens when we just complain. You must live your life continually learning and being intentional about change. And I think that's what's most important.
Yeah, you know, the choices we make.
Yeah.
The choices we make affect our reality is the bottom line. But just because you make a bad choice, a bad decision, life shouldn't be over. Shouldn't be over. You know, they say turn lemons into lemonades. You can do that. Just because you're being knocked down right now, it's okay. Stand up. Get up. I am sure that the women that are in power right now, I'm sure they went through many obstacles. You know, the things that I've journeyed through, I went through a lot of obstacles, but I kept going because I wasn't selfish. It's talking about me, myself, and I. I knew that I had to take care of my children. I knew that they were relying on me. They didn't ask to be here. And it was my responsibility to take care of them, whether their father was doing anything or not. And, you know, I hear a lot of women, you know, they angry and bitter because of what the man is enduring. But the reality is, you know, the word of God says that the woman is the one who takes care of the household, and taking care of the household is taking care of the children, because that man is subject to die. Back in the day, they used to be sent out to war. They were drafted out to war, and you had to raise them by yourself and with little assistance from the government. So, you know, we have to rise up and take a stand and say, no, this is not going to be my reality. I'm not going to be to the streets. I'm not going to have my children to the streets. And then we need to cultivate them so that they can be a dominant force in the world. That just goes back to what I say. You know, we have to pour into them what we wish their reality to be. Now, we can give and pour into our children and pour into others around us. And, you know, they may fail. They may not even want to participate, or, you know, they stray away from the things that you taught them. But at the end of the day, You did all you can do. So as a parent, as long as you've done all you can do, that's all you can do. It's not your fault if they're on drugs. It's not your fault if they're on alcohol and alcohol abuse. It's not your fault. They make their choices just like you make your choices. But it's up to you to dictate your reality.
And that is, and we have to continue to look to understanding, stop crying victim. Stop crying victim all the time. One phrase I love hearing you say, when you say you have to participate in your own rescue. And I think that's what's important. So often when I look at women like yourself and other courageous women, the thing that stands out to me is that you did not spend your time rehearsing the problem, rehearsing what's wrong, rehearsing how bad it is, but rather you put your energy toward getting out. Getting out. In other words, you never permanently fix yourself on the fact of how bad it was, but rather to look at where I must go to come out of this. And I think that's what happens. And that requires vision. That requires being able to see beyond your current situation. That requires you being able to take an introspection and look around you and be able to assess, listen here, I refuse to remain in this position. I refuse to be at the edge of my wits every day. That I'm going to come out of this. I'm going to get vision. I'm not going to look for people to feel sorry for me, but rather I'm going to pull myself up by the strength of God and I'm going to go forward. You did that in just a fantabulous way. And I know that we don't always talk about this on the show, but you know, people have to know this listening. We've known each other over 30 years, you know, and having watched you and the empowerment of your life and to see how your empowerment, what you did, not taking no for an answer, walking through doors and then watching favor happen. And then it was such an intentional work ethic that you had of faith. And then I look at your children and it's like they had no other choice. I mean, the blueprint was so in front of them that they're driven by what they've seen. They don't see these limitations. They don't rehearse their limitation, but rather they rehearse their possibilities. And that's what has happened with them. And that's what happened with people of vision. There are some people that go through, but they never grow through.
Wow.
They go through, but they never grow through.
Wow.
And when you go through and you can grow through, that's a reward, because I now know, because I've gone through some things, but I've grown through what I've gone through. And that's what leadership looked like. When we look at people like Michelle Obama, you know, we saw her as our first lady, and she was, but we never think about, you know, what was her life before this? She wasn't exactly born with a silver spoon in her mouth, neither. She came up through the ranks through hard work, through perseverance, understanding the power of a voice, understanding the power of going forth. And so we see it, whether it's a Kamala Harris, or we can go on and on and on throughout our legislators, one of my favorite, Maxine Waters. I mean, Maxine is somebody's grandma, and I met one of her grandkids, but she's also somebody's mom. She has the courage of a lion, and she will stand up on all fours, if you would, when it comes to defending what she believes. That is why when I look at people who have vision, generally behind vision, you see this whole wind behind them, this courage that says, I refuse to remain where I am. I must thrust forward, not just for myself, but for those that are coming behind me. Because that was the old way that oftentimes when we got to a certain place, we felt that we arrived and, you know, we sit back and relax, but we have too much to fight for now. We have too much to fight for. We cannot co-sign on ignorance. We cannot co-sign on these things that are continuing to keep us in bondage. We have to move forward. And that's why real leadership is about moving forward. And the strong women in our lives, we have to appreciate them because they was the epitome of moving forward.
You know, talking about moving forward, last week we had Shirley Carter Powell on, and we was talking about relationships. Now, a testimony, a story of resilience, two-time cancer survivor.
Yes.
She has lupus. She's been through five, she's on her fifth marriage. She's, you know, knows what it is to lose everything and gain it back. Now she's done a chicken wing festival. Then from a chicken wing festival, she's opened up a store in the mall there in Lansing where it's a store for free, where you can just make an appointment. If you're on hard times, you could go there and pick up whatever clothing and things you need. Then she has a nonprofit, Against All Odds. And then here she is now, just was elected to the Commissioner Board for Arts and Entertainment.
Never gave up.
Never gave up. Still pushing. Still open the door. Still, it's just like you and this is the message. I was sharing a little bit of her story to say to individuals, I don't care where you've been. It only matters where you're going. And if you don't have a vision of where you want to go, you're not going to go anywhere. So you have to dream and dream big, you know. Open your mind and heart to the possibilities. My book, Unlimited Possibilities, Walking in Purpose. You know, I didn't even know what any of that language in was, but I knew there was more. I knew I wanted more. I knew I wanted more for me. I wanted more for my children, and I wanted to be a blessing to people and to share with individuals that it doesn't matter where you've been. It only matters where you're going, that next level of increase, that next level of power. So, you know, yeah, everybody has hard times. You can be rich. You can be rich, but you have hard times. You could be, you can be suffering because of the fact you got all this money, nobody to share it with. You got all this money and you're sick and you can't get well.
Yeah. Or you're too busy looking over your shoulder thinking about who's trying to get it or who's trying to take it or where will I lose it. And the thing about it is that a place of wholeness and wellness is not necessarily fulfilled with money alone, but wisdom that comes with it. The ability to appreciate where I've come from. And that is what, you know, when you think about Shirley, in overcoming, you know, there are times when people go through things, it's easy to feel sorry for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say, woe is me. It's easy to say, man, why have I been given this hand? But the reality is that when there's alive in you, vision is the ability to perceive destiny. And so you want to continue to move forward. What causes you to move forward? Because what you know is that settling for where you are, for where you currently are, is not good enough. It's not good enough. And that's what really makes us who we are. When I look at things changing around us, I look at now you're seeing a lot of women that are CEOs of hospitals and they're CEOs and a major corporation. And you see that because of the fact that they refuse to give in to the current situation. In other words, they were always motivated by the fact of those that counted them out. So when people counted them out, or life counted them out, they kept going forward. In other words, they refuse to co-sign on someone else's opinion of them. And that's what we have to be about. I'm not going to join in and co-signing on your opinion of me. I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to stay where I am. I know what I'm capable of, because some of us just simply need an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Just
an opportunity. And the other thing is we have to stop focusing on people that make us options.
Oh, that's a mouthful. That's my,
you know, we always trying to cater and kiss the behinds of those people that don't want to support us or buy into our dreams. You know, you got people that always want you to support what they're doing, always want you to donate, always want you to do this. Oh, you got it. You this and that. But no. You know, you trying to participate with people that only make you an option.
Exactly.
And you, those are the ones you're trying to please, the ones that make you an option. So somewhere, somehow, you got to find within yourself and say, I'm more than that. I'm absolutely bigger than that.
Yeah. You know, it goes back to self-worth. It goes back to how we see ourselves. It goes back to what lenses are we're looking at our own lives through. And I tell people that you're more than your accomplishments, just like you're more than just your failures.
Hmm.
You're more than that. The easiest thing to do is to give up, to give in when you're down, mm-hmm. to give up and give in when you've made a mistake, to give up, to give in when you suffered a setback. That's the easiest thing to do, is to give in to that. But what takes courage and what takes grit is when you defy the odds, when you understand that I might have been knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. Mm. When you make up in your mind that, listen, that I'm going to get up from where I am. Because what I believe is this, we have to ask ourselves this question. Is failure a part of winning? And I know Les Brown often talk about the fact you have to, you know, sometimes you have to fail yourself, you know.
Fail your way to success.
Fail your way to success. And people don't like to talk about the failure. But it's the failure in which we see lessons that we should grow. You know, one of my favorite scriptures talks about, I believe in Psalms 117, it talks about the fact about it is good that I've been afflicted. Because if I had not, I would not have learned statutes. I would not have learned. And so when you go through something, you don't have to rest there. You just have to get up from there and keep moving forward, because it is what you're going to come to that will prove what you went through.
Yeah, it says something like, in my affliction, then I knew the goodness of the Lord. Because then you begin to appreciate where you've been. You always think that when you're going through something that nobody else is going through this, and you know, you're the only one, but there's somebody going through a whole lot worse. And like you said, you learn from your mistakes. You learn from the disappointments. You learn from the heartbreaks, because you know you don't want to go that way again. So you choose a different path.
Yeah. You know, it's like this. I will never forget. I hear my mom say stuff like, you keep running to that wall, you're going to knock yourself out. Okay. And you learn not to keep running to the wall after a while, because of the fact you're ultimately going to knock yourself out. You learn to go around now. You learn to open the door. You learn to do those things that are important. And that is what I call life lessons that we take with us. Because I know that I'm still motivated by lessons I learned when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to share. I often say, come from a very large family. It was almost imperative that we shared, because of the fact if you didn't, there wasn't going to be enough to go around. So it was imperative that we share. And I think about it so often, 10 children, God, who can even imagine that? You know, a family was so large that we used to have to eat dinner in shifts, you know, first shift, then the second shift came to the table. But it taught us things like humility. It taught us things like patience. It taught us things like sharing. It taught us things like, you know, looking out for each other. And I look at those lessons. Well, how has those things applied in my later life? It has applied in the sense of the things that I find myself working with, when I have to work with different entities, when I have to work and bridge the gap. This is a comfortable, familiar place to me, because I grew up knowing those things were important. And then it also gave me the background to know what it is to work, to do what you need to do, even when nobody's looking, when nobody's noticing, when nobody's there with the camera. And that's what I say about leadership. True leadership is not a matter of just being elected to an office. It's about what is it that you do or what you did before you ever even thought about running. And I'm always, I'm amazed by people who want to change the world, but they've never participated in anything.
Wow.
You didn't even go to PTA meetings. You know, you wasn't a part of Boy Scout. You did nothing, but you see an office and say, I'm going to run for this office. No. People who are driven recognize that their voice has power. And that is the reason why you will find them outspoken on the front line, volunteering to do things. Even your organization, inside of things that you do with mothers and women who may have gone through abuse, children who might not have things, you find a way to give to them and to be able to assist them, because you recognize that we can help make this only temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we can serve someone here, it can make a difference in their life. And that's what it's all about, serving. That's what we are. We're life servants, as simple as
life servants.
It's, and there's no celebrity status with that. It is just you're serving people. It's life serving. And a reward, oftentimes we see it when we see people get up off their feet, when we see them go and accomplish things. When I see people who were struggling, now their kids are going off to college. I mean, that those are the type of things that that are the just rewards for me.
Yeah. Your nonprofit, Man of Purpose, what made you get that going?
Well,
because I know you shared that we've known each other over 30 years.
Yes.
But I was being abused at that time and you had no idea.
Had no idea. Absolutely. Well, and that's the interesting thing. When I reflect on our story, we had no idea. We actually worshiped together in church. Mm-hmm. Had no idea. Inside of things, did not see. You did not exhibit the signs that we often talk about looking for. And then, as we often say, you're almost trained, especially when you are up under the edict of, you know, of faith and spirituality, and we have these titles and things. We're almost trained not to be that vulnerable or that transparent,
right?
Because we're in denial. We don't want anyone to see that, because somehow or another, our pain is somehow or another an indictment of something's wrong with us.
Exactly.
And we don't ever show that. So with Man of Purpose, and actually, you know, the nonprofit was Destiny by Choice. The Man of Purpose 2000 came along really in the year 1999, coming along in 98, actually. And we thought of the whole thing. And it's that thing that I live by, that we are created with purpose, for purpose, and on purpose. You know, so I'm a man of purpose. And so the first email address I ever had after just having my name was Man of Purpose 2000. It has been that for all these years, but it was meant to basically empower men,
okay,
empower boys and men to see that they have purpose in this earth. And that purpose is not to abuse. That purpose is not to hurt. That purpose is not to exploit. But we used to say, be a man, never raise your hand, you know, because of the fact we wanted them to know that they served a greater purpose in this life. Little girls look to their dads. Little boys look to their fathers. And we as men have to find our value in doing those things that is honorable, those things that leave an example. And so when I think about you, it's amazing that this was happening around me, and I did not recognize.
Yeah, because nobody knew about domestic violence. Nobody, you know, and then it wasn't supposed to happen in the church.
Yeah, yeah. And that's part of the denial.
And definitely not with leadership.
Yeah, no, that was part of denial. And because of that, we almost feel a need to protect the church. We feel a need to protect the reputation of the church. Because the fact this should be happening. So who do we tell? And if we tell, how they're going to look at us? And all those things go around. But look at the growth that has happened since those days there. And we recognize that, listen, first of all, the victim should not be ashamed, because there is not their fault, that the perpetrator should understand the fact that they have done a terrible disservice, and that disservice they have done have dishonored themselves. They've dishonored their partner. They've dishonored their family. And that's who should bear the blame. They should bear the shame of it. And I think that's where power came in, is when we said, are we going to co-sign on people abusing other people? And then you go and break the mold because you didn't act like a victim. You didn't think like a victim. You didn't walk like a victim. And so it's hard to reach you, because the fact your resiliency was at an all-time high. But part of that for you was the fact of still being bewildered that this is even happening, because it shouldn't be happening.
That was it. That was it. I took on the mentality that I must have did something wrong and I needed to change it.
Yes.
So in talking about this, Dr. J, this is why it's so important for us to make sure that we have people in power that's going to be able to understand the needs of things that are going on in our communities. And here again, it doesn't matter what economical status you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can go through situations just like I went through, And it's not just men, women, it's men too.
Absolutely.
And there's more sex trafficking going on than we've ever heard. It was going on all a while, but now it's at an all-time high. So we need to be able to rise up. And also talking about the police, all police aren't bad. And some of my relatives were and are in law enforcement. So I would shudder to think that they went to come and give aid to you only for you to kill them because you wanted to prove a point that you really wasn't in distress, but you wanted to take that person out because you have an ought against the police. It's just so much going on that we have taken upon ourselves instead of us going to the polls and making our voice heard and making sure we appoint people in that spot to be able to follow through for us in our communities we live in. I want to stay safe where I live. I like where I live. And I want to make sure that I have people that are serving that's aware of what's going on in my community.
You're exactly right. And it's one of the things that I never forget when all the hoopla was talking about defund the police. I never, ever saw that happen to me because I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how saved and anointed that I am and how much I trust God. If something is happening in my neighborhood around my door, I'm not calling Reverend Ike, Reverend Spike, and no one else. I'm calling 911. I'm calling the law enforcement because guess what? They are there to protect and to serve. And so we have to understand that's one of the reasons when we push for things like community policing, we want police officers who are familiar with the community, that is from the community, so that they can relate to what's happening there. Too often we go for the shiny brass and we miss out on the importance of being able to relate to people. And so when I see people oftentimes that are in leadership or aspire to become elected officials, I always want to look at what have they done? What have they done? I mean, have I seen them at anything? Have they been at any rallies or supported anything? Have they done anything that is worthwhile? Can anybody speak on their behalf and say, here's an individual who consistently did A, B, C, or D, was a part of this. They was part of a inner circle that discussed our problems and looked for solution. I think that's important because you can't even go on name recognition anymore because at the end of the day, I always like the old song, may the work I've done speak for me. And that is so important that we look at things like that because having vision, is the prerequisite to leadership. If you don't have vision, how can you lead? If you don't have vision, how can you move forward? And so that's important to do so. And there are people who are inspired because they've been around. They've listened to other people's story. They've held the hands of folks who was at their brinks. They've gone in their own pockets at times to make sure people had something to eat. There are people who've assisted with rent. I mean, I can look at the person on the side of me, and I know that you've done that, and I've done that. Mm-hmm. You know, we've assisted people, and not because we were so loaded with money, but because we were loaded with compassion. And we understood the fact that, you know, at that hour, at that moment, we answered the call, and that call was to give, that call was to make a difference, that call was to assist where we could. And I've seen some of the same people I've assisted. Dr. Vallis, what gives me this sense of the run on? Some of the same people that I've assisted, that young mother, to see her son or her daughter now going off to college.
Yeah.
Those are rewards. To see them and they're telling, you remember Lil Rodney? Yeah. Well, here's a picture of Lil Rodney. You know, now he's 6'3". You know, he's going off to college. He's doing things now. He's participating. And the only thing I can think about at that time there, when that mother was struggling, when her likes was being cut off, when she didn't have anything, maybe she was escaping an abusive relationship, but we were able to assist and look at what happened as a result, because that's what it is. That tree just don't bear fruit. It starts with what was planted in the soil and it being nurtured and fertilized in the proper light, and it grew and it eventually bore fruit.
Indeed.
And that's what I'm saying. Our heart plays off.
Yeah, it's amazing. I know we have someone that's from your area that's running for mayor.
Well, absolutely. I tell you, the young lady, Chandra Stringer, it's been amazing. I think I personally have known Chandra probably for over 15, 16 years, maybe even longer. And it's interesting how I met her was the fact she was out there working, helping with a nonprofit, feeding people, doing all, and she was just seemingly all over the place. And I'll be honest with you, the early days, I said, God, this girl just all over the place. My goodness. But I watched her go from just being that person who's all over the place to becoming, I mean, a legitimate business owner. Should I say businesses owner? She went to school. She became, I mean, just a guru inside of businesses, small business, for-profits, nonprofits. And she created some things that are absolutely powerful for people to get started in business. A business hub for people who don't have a building, but maybe need a place to be able to do business, have an address so they can legally do business. All of those things she began to do. She has fed folks, I mean, through food coming from everywhere. Mm. And she just never stopped. And she has been an incredible leader. And now she's aspiring to become the mayor of Riviera Beach, one of the cities here in Palm Beach County. And wow. I know that she's joining us tonight.
Hello, how are you?
I'm trying to see what the best angle of this camera. I apologize.
You're great. But you're on camera live right now, so you're good.
Sorry. I was not expecting to be late. Anybody know me? No, I am a time conscious person.
Yeah, but we know that you was doing something good as a part of you being late because you are very timely.
Yeah, I do my best.
So you're running for mayor?
I am. And so I apologize for my not professional background because I was supposed to be back at my office by this time. And just, you know, life just happens. And you have to let people know that you're human and you're transparent. And so when you don't have the perfect everything and you still push forward, that's when they know you're serious about your journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, one thing we've been talking about is how we have ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And yes, you're one of those individuals. And we want to get people to know you a little better. So if you can share a little bit about your story, that would assist people in knowing who you are and who you are aspiring to be.
Well, thank you guys again. I am Chandra Stringer. I am the president of Grassroots Consulting. I've been in registered business with Grassroots Consulting for 15 years by providing this work over 20 plus years. I've been in the nonprofit arena, if you count church, all my life, but for professional reasons, it's a little over 22 years. And my office sits in West Palm Beach, but I serve all of Palm Beach County and other surrounding states and islands. My whole goal in life is to leave the world better than I found it. And my motto for life is, if I can help someone along the way, then my living is not in vain. November the 8th, 2021, my life changed forever. I answered another call for purpose and publicly announced that I was running for mayor as a mayor candidate for the city of Riviera Beach. Many struggles, many trials, but I am in it to win it. I will see it through. And whatever the end result is, I still win. And so Grassroots Consulting is a holistic business consulting firm. We work with individuals from start, growth to sustainability, for-profit, nonprofit, and churches. We do have a financial arm, which is Stringer & Associates Financial Services. Under that arm, we provide tax preparation and we are an insurance broker from life insurance, health insurance, automobile, workman's comp, the myriad of different insurances that you need. We partner with numerous of other external companies to create what the community know as Bless Boulevard. Bless Boulevard is a business center where amazing things happen. And you just never know who you're going to meet on Bless Boulevard, because when you come, you will definitely know you're blessed. Thank you.
Well, Chandra, one of the things that has been really a blessing, not only by Bless Boulevard, so many of these things you literally spoke into existence. You knew that they were happening. And mm-hmm. I think one word that people use, well, two words they use to describe you is crazy faith. And it's crazy faith because you're the one, you speak out and then it just happened. And you're quick to say, well, look, I'm just going to do what God said do and get it done. And as a result, we have seen numerous businesses start because of the fact of not only your availability, but you opening those doors. The fact that people who had dreams that was locked inside of them and buried, and they were afraid to because they kept waiting on the right moment. But yet it's still, you offered them, if you would, guidance. And you say, listen, hey, if you're waiting for a right moment, you might be waiting forever. You got to jump and get it started. Many of those businesses today, you know, they're in the whole center plaza that you got there for one moment, you're seeing people there doing trainings. I mean, and I'm seeing females doing training on CDLs and trucks. I'm like, at every opportunity.
That's Coach G.
Yeah, people that thought that they could never get it done, and I've heard their personal testimonies, has gotten it done because of the fact they had you there to provide the infrastructure, to make sure that they were legally right and binding. You provide trainings for many different entities. You make those trainings available for people, whether they're learning about business taxes or business this or whatever, you have done so. But it is proof because of the number of businesses that have come through the whole grassroots consulting there. People that I know personally, I won't call their names so they won't know I'm talking about them, where I would have never thought they would have gotten off the ground because for years it was just talk.
Mm-hmm.
But they came up under the umbrella of your leadership. And they birthed their businesses, and they're birthed it, and they're sustaining, and it's still going. That is the type of innovativeness, and that is the type of leadership and experience that is needed in order to bring a difference to a community. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's really all about. Before you came on, we talked about sometimes people will decide to run for office, but they've never done anything before they ran. I mean, they wasn't even a member of the PTA, you know, they never sat on any boards and there's no track record whatsoever. You talked about your years of experience. I said in my introduction, I knew I have known you over 15 years, definitely over 20. And I'm trying to think of the first organization I remember you working with through the church. And you were just, I mean.
You're talking about Extended Hands.
Extended Hands, exactly right.
Yeah, that was my baby.
That's your baby. And you've been extending your hands ever since. But
yeah,
it's amazing to go from there to the things that you've done.
And you know, that's important to really have somebody in office that's familiar with the community and the community is familiar with them. So yes. I applaud you on the work you're doing. I know here in my community, Mayor Ken Thurston, you know, that's how I get to know him. He was out laboring. He was out doing things to help empower and inspire people. So what started you on this journey of helping?
Yeah. Well, 26 years ago, with two jobs, I was homeless.
And know that story.
And I tell people, and I wasn't doing drugs. I wasn't doing anything bad. I was underemployed. So I had to make a decision, you know, to keep my car or pay for an apartment. And because I had an 8-month-old daughter, I had to get to the babysitter so I can get to those two jobs. So she can, you know, I felt like she was my life and I needed to, you know, make provisions for her. So I kept the car. And I slept in that car, I want to say about 4 or 5 nights. And I remember going to someone's home and I told them, oh, I got to go because it's getting dark. And I got to make sure I go by the restaurant, get some napkins and, you know, get myself tidy up so I don't have to go to the bathroom. They're thinking like, what are you talking about? And I told her, I said, well, I'm in between living quarters. And she was like, you do know you're going to jail. I'm like, over my dead body, I'm not going to jail and no one's going to take my baby. And she gave me a room. And I made a promise to myself. I said, because someone seen my need and gave me a chance and a roof over my head that I did not lose my daughter and I didn't get in harm's way, I would live the rest of my life helping others. And In Lies started me and my journey. And I do that every day that I wake up.
So if you became mayor, what are some of the things that you would implement to get more help out? Because we talked about resources in the community that people don't know about because either they're afraid of because they're not legal here. They just don't know. What are some of the things that you hope to implement to help empower the community? Because if we grow together, we'll stay together longer.
Yes. Yeah. So I have three things that I champion, which is education, which is a mirror under literacy, many different things. And so, but that's a little bit a deeper dive. But immediately what I tell individuals, and I've had to sort of kind of correct a few people, and they'll say, well, you know, education is centered around the school district. So how are you going to get through that bureaucracy? Oh, well, you know that, you know, the city has a budget and it's already approved. So how are you going to get around that? And my question is always the same. My statement is always the same. Who says we have to only use what you know? Who says you only, I said, I have built a name for myself in this community. And sad to say, as much as I've done, there are still people that don't know it's me. I, on my way to this forum tonight, the guy, I was telling the guy that I was doing, he's like, oh, that's your spot on 25th Street. I'm like, yeah, we've been there for like 8 years. I didn't know that. You're the one that gave out those collard greens. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to tell you how much of my own personal money I had to put in to bring it to bear. You know, and so it's being creative. It's being innovative. And it's, I feel like this, where you have been called to, you will have the provisions to do what you're supposed to do. And yes, we need local, state, and federal dollars, but if it has to go through the necessary channels, work on that in the background, but don't let that be your stopping point. In the pandemic, and Pastor Thicklin will know this, in the pandemic, I mean, I'm not talking about like after the SBA gave out money. I'm talking about like April.
Yeah.
I was on Facebook and raised $2,400 to incorporate 13 businesses.
Yeah.
13 businesses. And some of those businesses, right, they are, I don't want to say killing because I try to watch my word, but they nailing the game. And so I don't let obstacles be my decision maker. It's it's the purpose behind it. And I'm just gonna be that person. And it's, oh, you sound so good. And you know the mayor can't do this and the mayor can't do that. I said, I understand. I read the job description. I read the job description. And I know more than I care to know from running this campaign how politics work. Write a book afterwards.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that you know, there are certain criteria of things you can and can't do because people figured, you know, when, for instance, when President Obama was president, why didn't he do this and why he didn't do that? There are certain steps that have to be implemented in order for things to pass. And which is why every election, we got one coming up next month here in Broward. I don't know about every election, I don't care what it is, we need to be mobile. We need to be mobile because if we're in position to help push something through that will serve our community, we need to make sure we have people that are there in DC fighting for us.
So I'm
glad you're able to come on the show and talk about some of it because, like I said, people will support who they know, like, and trust. So if they know a little bit about you, instead of just going to the polls and walking up there, getting a piece of paper from somebody and saying, okay, they gave me this paper, let me sign and let me get them in office. The time for that is over. You can get access so much information. Google is at your disposal. Alexa is at your disposal. There is no excuse.
And my thing is getting them to vote. Because if I hear one more time, and it's not just our city, it's around the world where they talk about the low turnout, the minority votes, but 90% of the laws and legislators and things that are created, it impacts us more than anybody else. And that's my whole thing. It's like, listen, yes, I want your vote. I didn't get in the race. People, so why don't you get in the race? You want to win the next election? I'm thinking like, are you crazy? You think I'm going through this torture for 3 years from now? I think not. But, you know, but I'm like, you guys, you have to understand that if you don't get out and vote, you are asking somebody to make a decision for your life.
For your life.
Exactly. You made it very simple. You had three E's was your primary voice there. Mm-hmm. And it was very simple inside of it. And there's a strategy behind it all, because if you're going to change the culture of a place, you have to have something that you're running behind. So I know that you gave us education, but share with us the other E's.
So education is, I mean, most people think when you say education, they automatically commonality, you know, familiarity. They think I'm talking about the school system. That's one-tenth of what I'm talking about. When I say education, I'm talking about the foundational pillars of financial literacy, health literacy, mental health, economic literacy. All of those things are the building blocks for everything else. Yeah. And then rolling over to economics. People, oh my gosh, if I hear one affordable housing one more time, everybody wants to say they're champion affordable housing. But what are you doing? What are you really doing? Do you know HUD defined annual medium income in Palm Beach County as $78,000? How many people making $78,000?
Exactly.
So get to the root of the matter and stop just saying stuff. You know, and so under that is working with families of how do they increase their income? How do they...
Okay, I think one of us froze up.
Yeah, she's good.
Okay. You still, if yes, I know Shonda, she's still talking though.
Okay. Yeah, okay. She's still.
Okay.
There you go.
And so I don't know what happened. So economic empowerment, economic development relates to the family as a family unit, talking with children about, you know, financial literacy and asset creation, legacy development. And then you can't leave out local businesses. Another statistic people don't know, when everybody went in an uproar about some of those national restaurants getting SBA dollars, most people don't understand that SBA defines small businesses $5 million and under. Hello?
Wow.
So when, and we're still in a pandemic, resources are still being made available, but when you say something, people think you're, oh, she wants the community to get a pass. We should be held to the same standards. Yes, we should be. We should be held to the same standards, but getting there. And so I am very intentional about making sure the business in our community have every single thing they need to be able to apply for grants, apply for loans, apply for RFPs, have a seat at the table. And then lastly, the environment. If we don't talk about environment, we're going to have waste fields right in our community.
Yeah.
And so I champion recycling. It's important. And when you can let businesses sit in a city and don't recycle, or you don't even have, you know, you paying a whole third party vendor to provide recycling services, but nobody, you know, ain't nobody talking about it. So I want to talk about that. I want to get to the community engaged and let them understand that we all, everything I discuss, we all have a part to play in that. You don't elect officials to be wonder workers. You got to be a part
ornaments.
Of the solution. Yeah.
Ornaments in office.
Yeah. Magician. So you got to be a part of the solution. So I coined a phrase called ACE. Every single one of us have to be accountable. Every single one of us have to be committed for change. And every single one of us have to be engaged. Thank you.
Powerful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the date is March 8th. Is that the day of the election?
Yeah. Well, early voting starts Saturday.
That's right. Early voting is starting Saturday
through March 6th. Yes. February 26th through March 6th, early voting in Riviera Beach is at Wells Recreation Gym only. And then you have your other 11 precincts that will be open on March 8th.
Mm-hmm. I did my absentee ballot. It's in because I knew I would be traveling. So there is no excuse for individuals not to vote.
Mm-hmm.
There are different ways you can vote. It's early voting. You got absentee. I think it's too late to do absentee voting. But
I don't know the date.
There's no excuse.
Yeah. And what I'm telling people, once you do it, go down your row. go through your phone and contact 10 of your friends to make sure they did. And then ask them to do 10 of their friends. You know, that's how I see it, because
post on social media, stop showing your behind
yeah.
and post, vote.
Yeah. We got to. And I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna thank you guys for your space. Please stop living up to what people think about our community. Stop verifying, validating that people think that we don't care about our community because we don't vote. I've been told this is gonna be that, and I'm like, well, if you know that, give me the winning lottery numbers. I don't even give them to me.
It is a true statement. We have to be the change we want to see. Right. It begins with us. We have to start laying that foundation. Mm-hmm. And whatever you're doing wrong, you can start today. 2/22/22. This is the day to turn your life around and say, no more. I'm not going to be a victim. And I'm going to walk in my purpose. I'm going to walk upright. And I'm going to leave a legacy, not only for my children, but my children's children.
Yes.
Absolutely. So the thing I would say is this, you know, Chandra, as you continue to do what you're doing, and here's the thing about it, it's called track record. It's a track record of showing what you've done even before you entered the race. And the fact of the matter, what you will continue to do because of the fact is in you to do it. And so when we're talking about people going to vote, what they must understand is that their voice, their vote is their voice. Mm-hmm. And that's where change is made. The vote is their voice. Mm-hmm. Inside of that, you've been accessible. You definitely work with so many. And I love what you said. And just to clarify one of the things that you said before, in the early going of the pandemic, and folks need to understand, when people were stagnated, not knowing what they were doing, you've always done innovative things, Facebook Live, put on tight rallies and people, you know, pitching in, you know, we're going to help this business get started. We're going to help that business get started. And people would simply make donation, buy a donation ticket. Guess what? Here's the drawing. You just helped X number of businesses get started. And that was just through what we call truly grassroots effort of being creative. And that's what it's going to take. Getting people to be able to see possibilities, be able to see beyond the conveniences or the convenient way of doing things. And I think that's what changes cities. I think that's what changes communities.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on. And how can people connect with you and see what all you're doing, not only locally, but globally?
Oh, man, globally is another conversation. So really and truthfully, as it relates to the mayor's race, please, if you want to volunteer, we're taking donations probably for another four or five days up until Monday, the 28th. And you can reach me at www.chandrastringer. That's my first and my last name, the number 4mayor.com. chandrastringer4mayor.com. That's the website. And then if you want to know about all the things that we do on West Boulevard with internal teams and external teams, because people think, you do all that? I'm like, no, are you crazy? I have a team. So you can look my main website up is www.gcifl on Facebook. Just follow me, Chandra Stringer. I tend to post my business information on my personal page as well as my business page, because I connect with most people on my personal page.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. And see you at the polls. See you at the polls there in West Palm Beach and Riviera Beach area. She is running for mayor. And like I said, people will support who they know, they like, and trust. And even if you don't like her and know what she's doing and you know it's a good work, support her.
Yes. Thank you so much.
All right.
And check out Blessed Boulevard when you get a chance. It's always blessed. It's always things happening. You think you're coming to a Mardi Gras. I mean, it's just so full of things happening. Vendors everywhere. People have gotten their names and have been introduced to the community on Blessed Boulevard. Folks, the best vendor in food on Blessed Boulevard. People, I mean, I get excited. And I'm just being honest. I'm not being biased or partial. I've experienced it. I've gone there. You get there, you simply said, dial this out the window because I want to get that from you, that from you, that from you, and to see so much creativity and people get an opportunity. And that's what makes community community. You created a space and opportunity so that people can thrive. And I'm quite sure all those business owners can attest to the fact of what happens as a result of being there. Full-time training center. So much availability that is there. People who said, I can't afford the overhead. but you created opportunities, business,
yeah, and inspiration stations.
All of those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So any closing remarks?
Closing remarks.
Me?
Chandra? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, I just want to say thank you, guys. I don't take it for granted. And I'm so happy I'm able to end my, well, end part of my night with you guys. I feel better. Okay. It's nothing like it. And it's not even about me. I want to encourage somebody. You know, yeah. On this journey, I have experienced so many highs and so many lows. And as Pastor Thicklin said, you know, I have crazy faith. Well, you know, most people know the sacrifice that you have to make. And so when you make that sacrifice, do know there is no way you're going to show up 220% and success not be your portion. You're going to have some rainy days. You're going to have some bleak moments. But I promise you this, if you stay the course, you will win. And even for those that may be thinking about getting into politics and you're saying, oh, no, I'm not going to do it. Trust me, that was the last thing on my mind too, but I'm so grateful for the experience of the tears I've cried, the disappointment I've experienced. I wouldn't trade it for the world, because what it did for me, it helped me to reach down and say, you're going to fold or you're going to fight.
Yes.
And I choose to fight tonight. And I want to thank you guys for this space. And I appreciate the work that you guys are doing so much, because we see enough negative. That's easy to figure out.
Absolutely.
That's easy to pinpoint. But when you decide to have somebody committed every week and bringing, you know, valuable information and resources to the community that they can have something to hold on to, that's change right there. And so don't think it's going unnoticed. I'm going to stop.
Okay.
Well, that's what Hot Topics from the Soul is all about, keeping people inspired and encouraged to see another day. And another day is always a greater day because you've overcome yesterday.
That part.
Absolutely. Well, if this show has been a blessing to you, please pass it on. And we invite you to join us next Tuesday. And thank you so much for tuning in to Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night and God bless. We're here because you're here.
Absolutely.